Welcome to the Hateful Hitman Podcast. Brought to you by Hitman Fantasy Productions. Premier football coverage from college to NFL to fantasy and everything in between. And now, in the Hitman's Hideout, here's your host, Chris Strasbaugh.
Semifinals. We have waited. We have worked our teams. We have gotten this far. Hopefully this podcast finds you in at least one semifinal matchup. Most leagues, upon this format, semifinal weekend is approaching. We have some really good matchups we're going to talk about here in a little bit to get you set for your week 15 semifinals in your fantasy weeks. Now, some leagues may not happen yet. I'm in a league where we don't actually draft the playoffs until the end of the season, during the actual NFL playoffs. We play 16 weeks, and then if you qualify for the playoffs, then you draft your team weekly during the NFL playoffs. It's a really neat format, and I was lucky enough to make it to the championship last year, got beat in a championship. I've already clinched a playoff spot in that league, so I'm guaranteed to go through it again. It's a neat format. I've talked about it before on this podcast. It's a combination of a couple of leagues all merged together, and it's something different now. But for the most part of us, it's semifinals week, and congratulations if you made it this far. If you didn't make it this far, to me in fantasy, even if it's not dynasty related or a keeper league, fantasy football runs 24/7, 350 days a year. I do take a little break once the NFL season has come to an end and fantasy is done for the year. I do unplug for a while to get away from it, but then I fire it right back up February and March, and we're talking. Early signing, we're not actually today is actually early signing day for college football, but National Signing Day is big in fantasy football circles. The NFL draft, the combine, I talk about it all here on the Hitman Podcast. So stay tuned throughout the off season, early parts of the year, and going through. I'll keep you up to date and keep you in the loop as to what all is going on in the world of football, college, Devy. Got you covered here on the Hitman Podcast. It is cold here in Ohio. We finally have hit some winter-like weather a week before, Christmas. We got snow. We got cold temperatures. Basically, what we've been expecting for the past couple, 2 or 3 weeks has finally reared its ugly head. If you live in warm climates, congratulations to you. But if you live in the cold, by now you should be used to it. But it was pretty this morning. There was a couple inches on the ground, and everything was fresh. And there's nothing like a good-looking, fresh dusting of snow to get you in the holiday spirit. Christmas is around the corner, so hope you guys are all ready for that. And I put the majority of my shopping off to the last minute. But I think it's fun to just the rush and the thrill of, oh crap, I got 2 days to go. I got to get out there. I'm that kind of person, so. I wait till the very last minute to do the majority of my Christmas shopping. Always have. Just gives me a rush. All right, let's get in with the show. We're going to talk a little bit about some breaking news right now.
Here's what we know.
Hollywood Brown, Ronald Jones, both put on the COVID IR. If you're asking me, does that mean to fire up Leonard Fournette? Because Rojo might be out this week. Absolutely not. I would not. If you've made it this far in your fantasy leagues, you've made it this far without Fournette. So there's no need to play him now. We'll give you a couple, two or three guys to go after if they're out there under free agent market. Most of your free agent waivers have already cleared. But if they're out there, you go get them. I'll get you those guys here in a little bit. But with Ronald Jones being out, I don't have much faith in Fournette. Obviously, the coaches don't either, since he was a healthy scratch. You know, just apparently, I missed a good game on Monday Night Football between the Ravens and the Browns. Did not watch the first snap of that game. I was watching something else on TV, and I thought, well, I'll catch the highlights. And it's the Browns are a legit football team. You know, they've been a legit football team on the rise over the past couple of years. But this year, that team's legit. And they took the Ravens. They gave them all that they had. You know, and they come up a little bit short. You know, apparently, it was a great finish. Like I said, didn't watch it. But, you know, this Cleveland team is solid, and they are a threat to throw a wrench into your team's fantasy outlook. If you're a fan of the higher up, the hierarchy, there it is, the hierarchy in the NFL, you know, this team can play spoiler and come in and shock you. Personally, I've kind of hitched my wagon to the Bills. I would love to see Buffalo and Pittsburgh play again for the AFC Championship. That would be a lot of fun. And, you know, they're up and coming, and you got to root for this team who hasn't been in the playoffs. You know, well, it was in the playoffs last year, okay? But they haven't made a substantial, you know, contribution to the NFL playoffs in a lot of years, going back to when they lost three straight, including two in a row to my Cowboys back in the 90s. So I would love to see this team get to the championship again and maybe even beat Pittsburgh. I know Pittsburgh is my team that I picked back at the beginning of the season, you know, to win the whole thing. And, you know, they're still a force to be reckoned with. But I find myself rooting for Buffalo. I find myself rooting for Cleveland just to get some of these new up-and-coming teams, you know, and see a little bit of variety in the NFL playoffs. And, you know, with my Cowboys, they're not going anywhere. They straight stink. I know they beat the Bengals, but they should have beat the Bengals. But, you know, you have to find somebody to root for. If your team that you root for isn't in the NFL playoffs, you have to find somebody to root for. Because, you know, once it's over, people, once the Super Bowl, you know, is done, we're done with football until the combine. Then we start talking about the draft and then the combine, or the combine first and the draft, excuse me. So we got, you know, there's some months there we're not going to have anything to do. If you're in Dynasty, that's when you make your move. Okay, that's when you try to, you know, grab some pieces, do some trading, do some shifting around. Okay, nothing bothers me more than, and I say this every single year, nothing bothers me more than you're in Dynasty with people and they do nothing in the off season, and then, you know, a week before the season starts or 2 weeks into the season, they're wanting to make moves and trade with you. Well, look, dude, you had the off season in Dynasty. Now, in redraft, it's obviously different because you don't have your team in the off season. So in redraft leagues, it's different. But this is year in and year out in my Dynasty leagues, and I'm in, you know, multiple of them. It happens every time. You know, I've did my due diligence in the offseason. I've done my wheeling and dealing in the offseason. I've accumulated to get myself, you know, moving. And now you got guys coming after you wanting your big name guys. It's probably not going to happen. Especially if you start out the season 2-3-4-0, you're not dishing your dudes. Because those are the guys that you've worked all offseason on, getting ready, you know, you put your work in. And others wanting to come in and you know, scoop up what you got. It's not happening. It's not happening for me. You guys may look at it differently. I don't. I'm like, you know, do that in the off season. Okay? Come in, that's a great example. I don't really get rid of him very often, but come and get Dalvin Cook in the off season. Okay, because when he's scoring four touchdowns, you know, and having 200-yard games, and then I got people shouting at me, hey, what do you want for Dalvin Cook? Nothing you've got. That's a fact. So, in Dynasty Leagues, do your stuff in the offseason. That's what makes it fun. It makes the offseason bearable. It gets you through the winter. It gets you into the spring. And then before long, you're talking spring games in college football, and you're talking, you know, OTAs, mandatory mini camps, rookie mini camps. All that takes off after the draft. So once the draft hits, man, we have a little bit of a lull in June and July. But then, bam, we're off and running again. So, you know, there is things to be done in the offseason, especially in Dynasty and Keeper Leagues. And if you're not in one, I suggest you join one, because it makes the offseason way more fun. Like I said before, today is the early signing period in college football. Looks like Ole Miss hit a home run with some picks. I haven't dove into it real deep yet. Ole Miss looks like they had a good day. But, you know, I got to talk about probably the transfer, you know, the high-end number one transfer of the year in Mackenzie Milton transferring to Florida State. And yeah, it's a Florida State thing. I get that. But, you know, this kid was dynamic at UCF before his injury. And it's a nasty injury. I've heard one podcast compare it to Jalen Smith. The Jalen Smith injury, and he got hurt, you know, there his last game at Notre Dame. I've heard it compared to that. He's rehabbed for the past 2.5 years. He was on the scout team at UCF. Signed, entered the transfer portal, signed with Florida State. And as far as transfers go, you know, FSU, you know, got the cream of the crop, you know, to date, as of right now. Because if he comes in and he's able to beat Jordan Travis for that starting quarterback position, which there's no denying that Jordan Travis is a dynamic runner of the football. Like, when he gets in space, he makes people miss. He is next-level talented as a runner. Elusiveness, you know, good speed. He's been banged up because of it. He can't stay healthy because of it. And, you know, it's cost him. He's getting progressively better as a quarterback. So it's going to be interesting to me, not only as a college football fan, but also an FSU fan. Hits me near and dear and close to me because I'm a Jordan Travis guy. I hope Jordan Travis can come in next year and win this job. I would like to see him be the quarterback going forward. But if he's not the guy, then you've got a definite uptick in Mackenzie Milton as a thrower of the football. I'm not sure he's going to be so, you know, inclined to take off and run for 60 yards like Jordan Travis can, especially coming off that nasty knee injury. But he is definitely, you know, worlds ahead of Travis as a thrower of the football. So it's going to be interesting to me to see. I was kind of I was shocked and excited and then, you know, a little bit disappointed all in one emotion when I heard that he was actually signed with FSU. Because I really wanted them to see what they've got with Travis. And I do believe Mike Norvell will do that in the offseason and see, you know, who's the better of the two quarterbacks. And that guy's going to be the guy going forward. But I am a huge fan of Jordan Travis. But I'm also a huge fan of what Mackenzie Milton did at UCF. The undefeated season was, you know, amazing. They played some really good teams. It wasn't just cupcakes. They played some, you know, heavy hitters in college football. So if he can bring that to the Noles, you know, that 3 or 4 win team that they got could be a 6, 7, 8 win team just having him, you know, at quarterback. We shall see. If you're a college football fan, you know, go on any search engine and, you know, just get an idea. Warchant.com, they list all the Seminoles who signed today, early signing period. You know, if you root for the Vanderbilt Commodores, you know, go to their website. They'll have a listing of who all, you know, your team got. And check them out. Tennessee, you know, everybody they've got. Everybody who early signed, that starts today. It gets them, what it does, it gets them in earlier. And it gets them a chance to learn the playbook. It gets them enrolled in school earlier. And it gets them, you know, a step ahead of National Signing Day, which, you know, is in February. So, it gets them that chance, that they're just a little bit there, a little bit ahead of the game, you know, early signing and coming in early. It works wonders for a lot of these guys who have a chance to get there, you know, sooner and get the ball rolling. I don't do this all the time, but I got to talk about my IDP player of the week. I'm in multiple IDP leagues, and, you know, this one stands out because it doesn't happen very often. But there's no way we couldn't recognize the game that Haason Reddick had last week for the Arizona Cardinals. 5 sacks, and I don't know, 2 or 3 forced fumbles or whatever it was. 5 sacks alone is the IDP player of the year, you know, for your IDP leagues. You can get a guy with 10 tackles and it doesn't match up to getting 5 sacks. And he's finally starting to get it. He's finally starting to evolve in this defense, you know, for the Cardinals. And you know, it's funny because I had him as a rookie and I thought, well, I'm gonna hang on to this guy for a couple of years. And he really just didn't, you know, he wasn't picking it up and he wasn't, you know, coming into his own. And I had to make a decision in the offseason, just this past offseason, in 2 leagues. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to let Reddick go. And, you know, I wish I'd have kept him. And, you know, because he's progressively getting better, as is Isaiah Simmons. And I was down on him a couple of weeks ago on this podcast. And then that very next week, he must have heard me because he turned it on. And he's been getting progressively better week in and week out. So a couple of young studs in that defensive secondary and backfield, or secondary, or linebackers and secondary there with Buda Baker, you know, Isaiah Simmons, Haason Reddick. They got some real stars that are shining bright in Arizona. To the games, got a surprise for you tomorrow night, hopefully on Sportscaster when we preview the Chargers and the Raiders game. I'm not going to spoil it, but there's rumor that Brian Wickham at BWick50 will join the program for the first time this year. I'm hearing whispers in the trees that he's going to be there. Let's check and see. I'm on Sportscaster roughly around 7 o'clock for a live stream. We'll break down Brian and mine's building your lineup for Week 15 semifinals, and also we'll talk Chargers-Raiders tomorrow night. On to the games. Buffalo-Denver. 10-3 Buffalo coming off a win against Pittsburgh. Denver 5-8. Anything you like about Buffalo, you fire them up. Except maybe Singletary. I mean, if you're in deep leagues and you have a couple, 2 or 3 flex spots, you want to fire up Zach Moss, you know, maybe. But there's still other options, in my opinion. But you're playing Allen. You're definitely playing Diggs. Beasley and all those guys are showing up, and, you know, Josh Allen is playing way better than anybody thought he was going to this year, and he's definitely in. I got him in a couple of lineups, and he's definitely got me to the semifinals, so I'm definitely playing Josh Allen. Tim Patrick owners. Okay, it's taken me a while to come around to Tim Patrick, but the dude continues to put up numbers that are fantasy relevant week in and week out. So if you're going to play Tim Patrick, okay, know that he's probably got Tre'Davious White. You know, there's some decent secondary issues. But, you know, if you feel you need to start Tim Patrick, he's produced over and over again this year. And, you know, more than Judy, more than Jerry Judy. So, you know, don't be afraid. If you need him and he's got you this far, you know, continue with Tim Patrick. Because as long as there's a Denver quarterback, you know, somebody can throw him the ball. Carolina-Green Bay. I made a trade earlier in the year in the league for Brett Favre, and it saved my season. When Dak went down, I made a trade, got Brett Favre, and it saved my season. I'm rolling Brett Favre until I'm no longer in the league. I got semifinals this week, championship game next week. Favre's going to be my quarterback. Well, there's no controversy. I have him. I have Allen and Goff are my 3 quarterbacks in that league. I'm playing Rodgers over both of those guys. He had 3 touchdowns last week, and he ran one in. So he's constantly getting it done. He's putting up huge numbers. Davante Adams is flourishing for it. Robert Tonyan is an option, viable option. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is coming on. The only person who's really suffering is Aaron Jones. So I would be a little bit weary of playing Aaron Jones. You know, I mean, obviously, if you're starting 3 or 4 running backs, he's going to be one of them. But it seems to me like Aaron Rodgers is on a mission. I've said it all year. And he's taken Davante Adams with him. And he's just on a mission to win an MVP, a Super Bowl, or whatever comes first. And, you know, it's to me, he is, if he's not the QB1A, he's the QB1B right now. If you got Mahomes and Rodgers, those two guys are there. And then Russ has kind of cooled off a little bit. So I'm putting Rodgers above Russ right now if I was ranking him, which I don't do very often. But if I was ranking him, it still goes Mahomes, then Rodgers, and then probably Russ. And then there's an argument for Allen, you know, coming in at 3 or 4. He's just doing a fantastic job. Kyler comes in there 5 or 6. Kyler Murray, just because he's been banged up, but he looked a little better. Looked a little better last week. So, you know, if you have Kyler Murray, which I have several shares of Kyler as well, you know, hopefully he's back on track and produces for you, because I think you're starting him this week. And I'll get to that game in just a little bit. For Carolina, no Christian McCaffrey this week. Mike Davis at Green Bay. I don't know. This is a hard one for me, because it's in Green Bay, and you know Mike Davis had a great week last week. Okay, a couple touchdowns. You know, definitely had a big time fantasy performance for you. So if he's got you this far, you've probably won with Mike Davis, not having Christian McCaffrey all season. So you're probably playing him. I have an issue in a league. It's Jacobs. It's Davis, and it's Robinson. I have all 3 of those guys, and one of them is probably going to have to go to the bench. So I have some decisions to make. I'm not sure which two to play and which one's going to the bench. So luckily this game's on Saturday. Make sure you understand we do have Saturday games this week. Do your due diligence and make sure you got the right guys in, you know, as early as Friday or Saturday for those early slated games. 5-8 San Fran, 4-9 Dallas Cowboys. Dallas coming off a nice win over the Bengals, which they desperately needed. I think that was it for them, though. I think San Fran is enough. Now, I will say this. Dallas' defense has played better over the past 2 weeks. And they had a really good game against Cincinnati, but this is not Cincinnati. The only thing that I will say is Nick Mullins will throw the pick and make some poor decisions. More often than not. So there is an opportunity there for Dallas to capitalize on that and to maybe turn into something, you know, defensively or whatever. One of my guys I talked about earlier about picking up was Jeff Wilson. He's hot on the waiver wire right now. Mostert is probably going to play, it looks like. So hopefully you didn't blow a bunch of your fab, whatever you had left. Hopefully you still saved some for championship week. If you blew it all on Jeff Wilson, you know, then you're probably going to play him. But make sure you keep an eye on Raheem Mostert, because if he plays, you know, then it's an issue where which running back's going to succeed. And that burnt me last year. So I'm not going down that road with those guys this year. Brandon Ayuk is a little gold mine, and not only is he a little gold mine all season when he was healthy, he had a COVID issue, but he's playing the Dallas Cowboys. There's a common theme for the entirety of the season. These wide receivers have big games against Dallas. Their defense is really bad. So if you got Ayuk, you're firing him up, because he's probably going to have a big game for you. And if he's in your wide receiver two spot, or maybe even easier, wide receiver one, there's an argument for him to be made, you know, for your team's wide receiver one at this point. But against Dallas, he's definitely in your lineup. There's no reason why you shouldn't play him against the Cowboys. 9-4 Seattle, 6-7 Washington. I don't know anything about Antonio Gibson yet. He was moved from out to questionable on Sleeper app. It changes things with McKissick. And also, it looks like Alex Smith is probably going to be the quarterback as opposed to Dwayne Haskins. So that gives me hope for the quarterback, Logan Thomas. He seems to flourish when Alex Smith is the quarterback. If Gibson's out, you're starting McKissick. If he's in, then McKissick probably not. McLaurin is a little bit of a mystery. He has kind of started hot, had a decent middle of the run, and, you know, now it's to the point where you just don't know. He may get two or three catches. So, you know, I like Logan Thomas. He seems to be becoming a focal point, you know, in that offense, and it looked to him. He's a big, strong guy. They even use him in quarterback situations because he was a quarterback there at Virginia Tech. But, you know, I like him as an option. Quarterback options for Washington, you know, hopefully you have other options, because if you've relied on those quarterbacks for Washington this year, you're probably not even in the playoffs anywhere. So that's the extent of it for Washington. For Seattle, you're firing them all up. That Washington front line and Washington defense is really darn good. And I got to go on record right here on the Hitman Podcast. It's Wednesday night. It's 6:53. December 16th, and I've got to say I was wrong. About Chase Young. Yes, he's a Buckeye. Yes, I don't have anything good to say about the Buckeyes, but this kid is a baller. Okay, he's a playmaker. I in the offseason last year when he was getting all hyped up, I said that, you know, he kind of disappeared in big games for the Buckeyes. He was, you know, you hoped for him to show up in those big games on the big stage, and he kind of didn't. Well, he's the number two overall pick for a reason. And, you know, he showed up last week. Huge game for him in IDP. Huge game for him if you had Washington team's defense. And I got to go on the record to say I was wrong about him. He's definitely worth the number two overall pick, and he's definitely worth the high draft pick you spent on him in your Dynasty and IDP drafts this year. So there, I said it. Tasted like puke coming out, but I said it. Not only did he went to Ohio State, he also plays for the football team. It's a double whammy. Seattle, it's Russ. It's DK. You know, you're probably playing Lockett just because, you know, the boom. And I've got him in a league where I'm going to have to play him just because he's the best option I have, you know, as a wide receiver, two, three, or a flex or whatever. But you're playing him. Running backs, it seems Chris Carson's good to go. And he's been getting a little bit more involved, so you're probably playing Carson. So I mean, it's all the familiar faces there in Seattle, and it's going to be a tough game. Washington's playing good. Washington beat Pittsburgh. I mean, they're playing really good football right now. Now this could be a really good game, and Washington's still trying to win the NFC East. Somebody still has, and mathematically, the Cowboys are still in it. Realistically, probably not, but mathematically, Dallas is still in the hunt. So these games matter, you know, for Dallas and Washington. You know, and you know, the Giants need to keep winning, as do, and the Eagles, probably the odd man out, you know, as of right now, but you know, it's wide open. So Washington's gonna play hard. They're gonna come in, they're gonna try to win this game. And they're gonna play Seattle hard. So, you know, don't be surprised if you have Russell Wilson. You know, he might not throw four touchdowns, but he may throw two, he may run one in. So we'll see. Another big game right next, Sunday, 1 o'clock. NFC North, two teams that are still in the playoff hunt. This is an important game, 6-7 Chicago, 6-7 Minnesota. This sucks. This sucks for Dalvin Cook owners. Okay, I've got, you know me. If you know me, you know me. I've got Dalvin Cook shares in about every league except for two. And he did not run well against Chicago a couple weeks ago in Chicago. Okay, so now you've got Dalvin Cook in your semifinals, and you're starting him anyway. It's a home game for Minnesota. That's a difference. Okay, he's playing indoors. That's a difference. But it's still Chicago. Okay, I don't expect 200-yard game, and I don't expect 4 touchdowns. He struggled last week to get a touchdown at 100 yards, but it was because Kirk Cousins was in a groove and they're able to pass the ball a little bit. I think Minnesota's going to have to run in order to make this game, you know, for them to win. Chicago's defense is nasty, and their front four is nasty, and the one guy there on the defensive line, his name's escaping me right now, he hates Dalvin Cook, and Dalvin Cook don't care much for him. So it's like it's going to be a tough game. But you're starting Dalvin Cook, and you're starting him because you took him in the first round, and he's the best running back in the NFL, so you're playing him. And you just hope that he can find the end zone, you know, and have a decent day for you. If he scores 4 touchdowns, I'm just going to run out here in the street, you know, in my underwear, because that's going to surprise me. That's going to win you your league this week. Cousins, if he's your quarterback, then he's your quarterback. He continues to put up good, solid fantasy numbers. He's got Justin Jefferson, a young stud rookie wide receiver. Thielen, who catches everything. You're starting all those guys. You're starting them all. You're starting Cook. You're starting Thielen, Jefferson, Cousins. Fire them up because they've got you this far. You know, fire them up. For the Bears, it's David Montgomery and it's Allen Robinson. And to me, that's it. Okay, the Mooney kid, he's coming on, sure, but I'm not comfortable with him, and I'm not comfortable with Trubisky in the semifinals of your fantasy leagues this week. David Montgomery has a good matchup against Minnesota, and he's really coming on strong in the last few weeks. I talked about him last week. You know, he has a really good playoff schedule. If you got Montgomery, you're firing him up. Allen Robinson, he is a stud who unfortunately doesn't have the world's greatest quarterback throwing him the ball. But the thing I do like about Trubisky is he will target Allen Robinson. Starting Allen Robinson, I got him in 2 leagues. Starting him in both this week. 6-7 New England, 8-5 Minnesota. Or Miami, excuse me, 8-5 Miami. Miami's defense sneaky good. And they're playing decent football right now, especially even with all their running backs being, you know, in COVID last week. New England, 6-7. Nobody. Look, nobody. You shouldn't play anyone in that offense for New England this week. There's too much riding on it. Cam is a shell of his former self, and those running backs, too wishy-washy, too hit and miss. The Harris kids hurt. So, no, I don't like any of them. Nothing on there says start me. For the Fish, not exactly, you know, world beaters on that side either. Nothing that stands out and says, okay, these guys are going to help me get to the championship in my fantasy league. Just leave it alone. If it's like if you're betting and you look at the line, which I'm not sure what that line is, but it's probably pretty close, you're like, yeah, I'm not doing it. I'm staying away from that game. I'm staying away from this game and the fantasy aspects of it because I don't like anybody there to produce for me. I say that, and then we go to the next game, Jacksonville-Baltimore, and you're starting James Robinson. I know. But look, Nick Chubb has had a good game against Baltimore. I know it's Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb's a better running back for sure. You know, he's definitely better. But this rookie running back for Jacksonville has done it for you all year. He catches the ball. He runs hard. Okay, they're 1-12. They're probably going to be in the running for one of those top 2 quarterbacks next year in the NFL draft. But to get you to your fantasy championship, and you've had James Robinson this whole entire year, to me, it's like Dalvin Cook. You're playing him. The matchup's probably not that great, but you're playing him anyway. You're finding a spot for him, and you're putting him in your lineup. I said earlier, I've got to make a decision on 3 guys. You know, and luckily, I don't have to make that decision today because I got some time to think about it and some time to, you know, toss ideas around. It's going to be hard for me to bench James Robinson when he's been so productive, even for a 1-12 team. for Baltimore, like I said, Hollywood Brown in the COVID IR, probably not going to play this week. And he had three games of decent fantasy output. Lamar, apparently he had to take a crap, and it was a big deal. Like I said, I missed that game, but apparently he had to take a crap, and he disappeared from the sidelines for a little bit. Look, man, I don't know what the big deal. Everybody poops. I'm not sure what the big deal is. All right, he had to take a dump. Forget it. I don't know why it's such a – everybody's talking about it. Who cares? Let the dude go to the bathroom. He came back out. He's fine. Whatever. Lamar Jackson, he's got you this far. He hasn't put up the numbers he put up with last year, and that's been expected. I even said that way in the offseason. Don't expect these guys. I even said Mahomes, and he's performed, you know, pretty decent. I said don't expect these guys to repeat the same amount of production because it's not going to happen. Mahomes is a little bit of a unicorn, but Lamar's been down. He got right against Dallas, and he carried that momentum against a very good Cleveland team. You know, you're definitely playing him this week against Jacksonville, whose defense is okay. I mean, they're not terrible, but you know he's going to have a good game, and you're definitely starting him there. Running back position, you know, that's on you if you want to play those guys. You know, Gus Edwards would be probably one to really consider. But Ingram's getting phased out. Dobbins is up and coming. You know, so if you had to pick a couple, you're looking at Dobbins and you're looking at Edwards, and you're thinking, if you have to make a decision on playing somebody, you know, take those guys. And I guess I would probably like Edwards, you know, for the maybe his chance to get into the end zone, maybe a little bit higher than what you're going to see from Dobbins. Dobbins has the big play potential, obviously, and you're looking at Edwards to secure you maybe a touchdown or two down by the goal line, especially if they're not using Ingram as much. 8-5 Tampa, 4-9 Atlanta, in Georgia, in the Georgia Dome. Fire up. What, Younghoe Koo? All right, this guy has been a league winner for me so far in a league where I have a kicker. Starting Younghoe Koo, don't talk kickers a whole lot on this podcast, but in a league where you have a kicker, if you've got Koo, he has not let you down this year. The dude kicks 50-yard field goals like it's nothing. Fire him up. Matt Ryan, at your own risk. Without Julio, which I don't know about Julio Jones yet. He's a different guy. He's a different quarterback. It's on you. I don't want nothing of Gurley. I don't want nothing of Justice or nothing of Ito Smith. I don't want any of those guys. Gage, if you're desperate and you're looking for a play and you're looking for somebody, I mean, both those guys, Gage and Ridley, are going to have roles, especially if Julio's out. They're gonna play. But Matt Ryan is a different quarterback. So, you know, I feel comfortable playing Gage and Ridley. I just don't really like Matt Ryan to win you your semifinal. But it's okay. You want to play the other two wide receivers. Don't blame you there one bit. 5-8 Detroit, 9-4 Tennessee. It looks as if Matthew Stafford may miss this game. For Detroit, you know, if that's the case, you're probably playing DeAndre Swift because he's up and coming. He's the future of that franchise, and he's probably got you this far, and you feel comfortable putting him in, and I do too. I did make a mistake. I had one share of him in the C&D Podcast League, and I traded him away, and I did get a first-round pick next year out of the deal, but, you know, I'm kind of wishing I'd have hung on to him because he may have been a serious threat for me to win the championship if I'd have had that one piece. Luckily, I still have Jonathan Taylor in that league, and he's picked up the slack that I got from losing DeAndre Swift. If you're in a tight end league, you want to play T.J. Hockenson, I guess that's a viable option. Just because somebody has to catch the ball because you're probably not getting Galladay back. So, I mean, and if it's for some reason, the backup quarterback is slipping my mind here real quick, but Chase Daniel, I believe. If it's Chase Daniel, then You know, he may have to have somebody dump the ball off to, and T.J. Hockenson may be a decent play. I wouldn't expect anything out of him, but at least he's a tight end starting in the NFL in a position where it's very, very slim. For Tennessee, look, if Tannehill, yes. Derrick Henry, yes. A.J. Brown, yes. And as much as this hurts, Corey Davis is definitely in play in your fantasy semifinals. He has been solid. He has earned it, and he's earned a chance to play. And if you have Corey Davis and you're thinking about starting him, you know, fire him up. He's been good here, especially recently. So he's definitely in play for you this week. 4-9 Houston, 9-4 Indy. For the Colts, you know, Rivers is a decent option, especially in two quarterback leagues, super flexes. If you got him out there, you know, and you're going to put him in, you can feel confident. He's going to get you a solid game, and he's going to keep you competitive. One quarterback league, hopefully have other options, because he's down the list for me, you know, in one quarterback leagues. But two quarterback super flex, you can certainly throw Rivers in this week and feel confident with it. Like I said, Jonathan Taylor, T.Y. Hilton, both of those guys. You know, last week I said T.Y. was a little bit of a stretch. If you really wanted to play him, play him. If you had no other choice, sure. But he's a viable option, and he's really blossomed, and it's taken maybe a little bit of the season for those guys to kind of work their, you know, chemistry together. But, you know, he still has a big play potential, and he still has the ability to get down the field. You know, and Rivers likes to sling it around, so there's always that chance that, you know, he's going to get you a big play or two. For Houston, it's Deshaun Watson. The running backs are still a little murky. It looks like David Johnson may be coming back, which means Duke Johnson loses value. Fuller's gone. Kiki Kuti continues to put up decent numbers. You know, it would be a great wide receiver, two, three, for you. He found the end zone last week. You know, so, I mean, if you need to put somebody in there and you're looking and you're stuck for something, you know, I'd play Justin Jefferson over Kiki Kuti, you know, in a heartbeat. I'm playing Corey Davis over Kiki Kuti. So, I mean, that kind of gives you an idea of where I'm looking at for those guys. But if you want to play him, you know, feel confident that at least he's going to be on the field in an offense that where they're down a couple wide receivers, and, you know, he may get the ball. 4-8-1 Philly, 7-6 Arizona. Arizona still needs to find itself. And Arizona, this is a good week for Kyler Murray to get back, you know, in the groove. He looked a little better last week, like I said earlier in the podcast. He looked a little bit better. And I know Larry Fitzgerald doesn't catch 10 passes a game anymore. But don't you think that the offense just looks a little bit more comfortable when old Larry Fitz is out there on the field? He missed a couple of weeks because of the COVID. And, you know, it's almost like a safety blanket. You know, he may only catch 4 passes. I'm not saying start him in your fantasy league this week. Don't do that. But I think he makes Kyler better, because Kyler knows that he's reliable, and if things break down and it hits the fan, he can look for him, and he knows he's going to be able to go to Fitzgerald. It makes Hopkins better. It makes Kirk better. You know, it makes Kenyon Drake a little bit better, because everything works. And that offense, to me, just seems a little bit better when Larry Fitzgerald's playing. And this may be, you know, this may be a swan song. He's probably going to be done after this year. So they're going to have to worry about it, you know, going forward without him. But as for right now, to me, that team looks better with him, you know, on the field. Starting Kyler, you're starting D-Hop, you're starting Drake. You know, if you're in deep leagues where you think you need to start Edmonds, I mean, I'm trying to avoid it if I can. I'm trying to look elsewhere. But there's always a chance that he's gonna do something. But I'm trying to stay away from him this week if I can. Holy cow. The New York Jets, 0-13, traveling across the country to play the Los Angeles Rams, 9-4. That team is coming on strong. This could be a really big game for Jared Goff. It could be a very big game for Kupp, Woods, Cam Akers. And it could also be a huge game for this LA Rams DST. Aaron Donald. I mean, this game right here. If you got any parts of this game, start them and play them, because this game alone could get you to your championship. I mean, at any moment, you know, Goff could throw for 350 and three touchdowns, and Cam could go for 170 again, get a couple scores. You know, this Jets team, like I said last week, that may have broke them. When they had the game won and the Raiders snuck back in and won it, you know, it may have broke them. You know, I don't like anything offensively for the Jets, fantasy-wise. Stay away from all of it. Don't even think about it. Find other options. This Rams team is hungry. They are legitimately a scary threat to represent the NFC in the championship game, you know, to go for the right to go to the Super Bowl. I'm staying away from anything that's Jets-related, and I'm firing up a bunch of these Rams this week in hopes that they show up and go off and get me to a fantasy championship. I said before that that game may have been the game of the week earlier in the rundown, talking about Seattle-Washington, but the game of the week really is probably going to be 12-1 Kansas City versus 10-3 New Orleans. Now, I'm one of those guys who's ready for Drew Brees to come back. I have zero shares of Alvin Kamara. I have a share of Michael Thomas. It's not about that, though. To me, it's about I want to see if this is it for Brees. I want to see him go out on top. Okay? I would love to see New Orleans make a run at the Super Bowl and actually make it to the Super Bowl. Play Buffalo, that'd be kind of cool. But I don't know that you can stop KC right now. They're on a different level, and their defense is making plays. You know, it seems like anytime there's a tip ball, I automatically expect Tyrann Mathieu to come down with it. It's like every time the ball gets tipped or it's up in the air for longer than it's supposed to be, in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, Matthew's going to come down with this ball. And, you know, more often than not, he's in the mix somewhere, you know, causing havoc. The kid's a dynamic playmaker. He's always been that way, even back to his days at LSU. The kid just finds the ball, he is really good. He's a really good football player. I just don't know if New Orleans can win this game, even though it's at home. Mahomes, and I love that New Orleans defense this year. I really do. They are playing so good, and you know they're playing nasty. And DeMario Davis is awesome, but so is Mahomes, and so is Tyreek, and so is Kelsey. And then you got the whole list of 4x1, the 4x1 team they have there. Everybody can run, you know, everybody runs a leg in a 4x1. I just think it's a little bit too much. And I just think that I would love to see New Orleans knock them off, really. Even with my one share that I have of Mahomes in the semifinal game, you know, I'd love to see it happen, but it's going to be a really good game. And you know, hopefully it's competitive. Hopefully they can stay in it. But I'm, for one, ready to see Drew Brees come back and finish this thing off. And he looks to be like he's going to be activated. Not sure about his playing status yet, but he's been designated to return from the IR. But I'm not. That doesn't say he's going to play this week. So I look for Taysom Hill one more week, and then probably Drew Brees for week 16. 9-4 Cleveland, 5-8 G-Men. Now this is another good game, okay. The G-men are up and coming, and they've been playing decent football here of late. And they got Daniel Jones back last week from being down. But Cleveland to me is a tick above them. The running game from them, you know, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. That 1-2 punch is working out very well for the Browns this year. So you're starting all the usual suspects for the Browns. Baker, Chubb. I mean, Landry's, I don't know. I don't have any shares of Landry, so I might be the wrong person to ask, but if I had Landry, I'm finding a different option. But, you know, if you have him, it's not a bad play. I would find somebody else, but I love the running backs in this game. And I like Baker to throw it around a little bit. Baker's been playing really good football here of late. That Giants defense is good. Blake Martinez is a tackling machine. You know, on the offense, Wayne Gallman has had a really good year since Saquon's went down. He's gotten better as the season has progressed. So, I mean, you're firing up Gallman, not Daniel Jones, you know, so find another option. But, you know, in deeper leagues, you're definitely starting Gallman. I guess I want to backtrack for a minute for Kansas City, New Orleans game. You know who you're playing in that one, okay? You know. I skipped over, I guess, because it was so simple. You know who you're playing. I done said it on the KC side. New Orleans, you're playing Michael Thomas. You're playing Alvin Kamara. You know, and in leagues where you got two quarterbacks, super flex, you're playing Taysom Hill because he may run two touchdowns in for you. So, you know, I guess I skipped over them just, you know, assuming you knew who to play in that game. Guess I wanted to touch on that just real quick. Monday Night Football. Ooh, that ain't even worth watching. 11-2 Pittsburgh, unless you're a Pittsburgh fan. But I think even Bengals are going to tune out for this one. 2-10-1 Bengals coming off the drubbing from the Dallas Cowboys. They got beat by the Dallas Cowboys. Handily, they got beat by the Dallas Cowboys. You can only imagine what Pittsburgh's going to do to this team. This game's going to be over with by halftime. And for me, it's there's no one other than Roethlisberger in this game that I feel comfortable starting for my fantasy semifinal games. I trust zero Pittsburgh wide receivers. For one, they can't catch. And two, you never know who's going to show up, who's going to go off. It's a coin toss. It's like the running backs in New England. I don't trust any of them. These guys have bit me, and I'm done. So it's Big Ben, and that's it. If you got IDP leagues, you're definitely firing up Pittsburgh this week. Any Pittsburgh player you got. Your DSTs, it's Pittsburgh's DST. Look what Dallas just did. I got Pittsburgh's DST in an auction league I'm in. Hopefully their DST wins me the week. For the Bengals, I got nobody. Okay? Literally nobody. If there's players out there, leave them alone. They're out there for a reason. It would have been Burrow and, you know, Higgins, A.J. Green, had Burrow been playing. But with Burrow out, you know, if you're in a stretch and you're thinking about playing A.J. Green, don't. Change your mind. Find a different route. It's not going to be worth it. That's the rundown. You know, I'm in several semifinal weeks, several leagues. I did get bumped from two leagues last week, including my own, the Hateful Hitman Podcast League, the flagship of the Hitman Podcast. I made it to the playoffs for the first time in league history in 5 years, and I got bumped in the first round. That's the way it goes. One step better, I guess, than last year. I got bumped in the HFP Firing Squad League by stat corrections. Again, I'm 1-5 this year when stat corrections are involved. It's terrible. Terrible. Other than that, I'm still swinging in all the leagues I made the playoffs in. Hope you guys are too. Let me know how you're doing. Let me know how you're doing. Let me know what your chances are, and let me know if you win or lose. That'll do it. That'll wrap us up on a cold December night here in Ohio. My name is Chris Croswell. Thanks for listening. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. You can find the podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. Appreciate the new subscribers, new listeners. I guess my audience is growing. I had some people reach out to me and tell me that they, you know, pointed me in the direction of people. I do appreciate that. Reach out. Let me know who you are if you listen. Be interested. And be nice to meet you guys. Anyway, it's semifinals week, people. Make sure you got all your T's crossed, all your I's dotted. You've got games on Saturday. We've got games tomorrow night. Join me, Brian Wickham, on Sportscaster for the Thursday night breakdown. Until then, good luck this week, and see you next time on the Hitman Show.